Now, the Catholic Church in Milwaukee is telling the state its new investigation into abuse by clergy members is over the top. Back in April, Attorney General Josh Call announced the DOJ would be looking into allegations of Wisconsin's five dioceses and its religious orders. It's also planning on taking direct reports from survivors, families, friends, and victim advocates. The Archdiocese of Milwaukee says the request is unreasonable. For one thing, they say they don't have the resources to comply. They say the state lacks the authority to conduct the investigation and that they're being unfairly targeted. In a statement, Call said he's disappointed with the church's lack of cooperation, but the investigation will proceed. Howard Schwaber is an associate professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison. He's an expert in constitutional law, free speech, and American politics. Howard, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We've seen this happen in other states, Howard, these statewide investigations, often on top of earlier, maybe more local investigations. What was your reaction to this happening here in Wisconsin?
Well, I was not at all surprised that the state took this action. At the moment, right now, there are 21 other states that have ongoing investigations similar to this one. And in every single case, this takes place against the backdrop of a prior settlement by the church in various forms and in various amounts. Right. So in all of these cases, you have previously settled claims, but you also have new claims coming out or new information being unearthed or alleged. And a background of a general perception that there's a lot more, you know, the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Just this past week in Canada, the discovery of 250 graves at a school that had been run by the church. These were deaths that occurred decades ago. But I think there's a general sense that there's a lot more left to uncover. And a lot of states, not just Wisconsin, are seeking to find out what else is out there.
Now, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee says these cases, some of which go back decades, have already been investigated by legal authorities. The church has made changes, they say, to prevent these things happening again. What do you think of that argument that at this point a statewide investigation is redundant?
Right. So that's one of, as I read it, and I read through the documents, the diocese makes four separate arguments, and that's one of them. That argument really has two parts. So the diocese has said it will not cooperate with any investigation of past events, but it will cooperate with any investigation of allegations of present or future events. So the diocese is trying to draw a sharp line and say, look, the past is the past, move beyond it, but we are good actors. We have tried to reform our procedures, and more than that, we will cooperate in dealing with any future allegations. Part of the background here is that just last year, a Wisconsin man committed suicide and in his note claimed that he had been the victim of clergy abuse that had not been covered by the settlement, which took place in 2015. And so there are sort of two problems, at least from my perspective, from a legal perspective, with the diocese's position. One is there's this presumption that there are no more past cases to be discovered, that all of them were discovered and dealt with, which as a factual matter seems somewhat questionable. And the other is that even if damages have been paid, you know, that there's nothing left to do, no investigation, no healing, no further disclosure of information, you know, that could be of benefit in which the state might have a legitimate interest. And both of those strike me as problematic positions.
And we have the Attorney General. You mentioned a closure for victims. The Attorney General appeared with victims and members and leaders of victims' organizations. How important do you think it is to try to dig into these stories, as the Attorney General says anyway, to benefit those victims?
Well, I think that's a question for the victims, the Attorney General. You know, that's not a legal question. It's a policy and philosophical question. I do want to focus on two of the arguments the diocese made, though, which I think are particularly interesting. One is the claim that is the argument that all claims should have been filed during the diocese bankruptcy proceedings. And that's basically a not very coded way of saying, look, we're not going to have money to pay any damages. We liquidated all outstanding claims during bankruptcy. If you try to raise a new claim now, we're going to say it was barred. You should have brought it up then. And so even if past events are discovered by this investigation, right? One argument is there are no undiscovered events, but the other argument is even if such undiscovered events should turn up, we shouldn't be liable to pay any damages. And that's a bit of a reach. The other one, though, that's really much more interesting is the assertion of bias. The Archdiocese is asserting that there's evidence of anti-Catholic bias in the way that the state has conducted itself and in some training materials. What makes that argument so interesting is that it goes to a recent Supreme Court case that a lot of your listeners probably know called Masterpiece Cake Shop. That was a case about the baker in Colorado who didn't want to sell a wedding cake to a same-sex couple, and he was effectively busted by the Anti-Discrimination Commission for violation of the Colorado law. And the Supreme Court, in an opinion by Kennedy, said something really interesting. They said, we're sending this back. You've got to redo it because the way you did it was wrong. And what was wrong was that a member of the commission that reviewed the case had made expressed anti-religious sentiments. And so it's this idea, it was a brand new theory, we've never heard of before, that you have a constitutional right to only deal with state actors who are friendly toward your beliefs. That even if there's no effect on the outcome, the mere fact that there might be subjective bias on the part of government officials is enough to invalidate a state proceeding. This was a brand new theory that has never existed before, and it seems to be that the diocese is relying on that theory and are going to try and to invalidate this investigation, not by showing, I can't emphasize this enough, it's not a claim that there's a bias that affected the outcome, because that, of course, would be a constitutional violation. But the mere fact that they're able to assert there's bias on the part of some government official, just subjectively, should be enough to invalidate the state's actions. And that actually seems to be the argument on which the diocese is putting the most weight. And as I say, it's a rather radical First Amendment theory, but it's a theory to which the Supreme Court opened the door in Masterpiece Cake Shop.
All right, so now if we've got a State Department of Justice that says, hey, religious institution, we want access to people to talk to them, we want access to your records, especially to go back in time, and one unit, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in this case, says, no, we're not going to cooperate, what next? What happens?
Well, so, you know, let's go back again to another basic constitutional principle. This is not a new one. It goes back a long way. There is no religious right to be exempted from the operation of ordinary law. Religious belief or being a religious institution does mean you have certain special, of course, protections as a matter of free exercise, but there's no exemption from law generally. So the church, no more than any other party, can simply say we refuse to cooperate in a proper criminal investigation. So what will happen is all of these claims that we've just been discussing will have to be adjudicated. And if at the end of the day, at the end of those arguments, a court says, nope, this is a valid investigation being carried out in a valid way, then they will have to comply or face contempt charges and fines. But this is in part a delaying tactic. That is, all of these legal questions we've just gone through will have to be gone through by a court, adjudicated by a court, before Wisconsin ever gets to the point of being able to enforce its demand for records and information.
So what happens next? What are you watching for?
I presume that this will go to a court. Probably, given the nature of the investigation, the events, there isn't sort of immediate urgency. So probably there will not be some sort of expedited thing. This will go through the usual stages, the district court, court of appeals. It could easily reach the state Supreme Court. And the question will be, the questions will be, you know, can the diocese say, look, we've taken steps, therefore there's no legitimate state purpose in investigating any further past acts? Can they say, even if there were such a legitimate interest, we can't possibly be required to pay any damages, so there's no good reason for this? And can they say, look, we have reason to believe that someone involved in this harbors an anti-Catholic bias, and therefore that invalidates anything the state does, regardless of showing that that bias had any effect on any state conduct? If they win one of those arguments, that would put Wisconsin back to square one, to having to start over. With a new investigation under new premises. It bears repeating. The diocese is not refusing to cooperate in investigations into present and future conduct. This is an attempt to close the door on everything that's happened in the past. But of course, for survivors groups, for victims' relatives, and as a matter of public policy, there's a very powerful legitimate state interest in discovering what happened in the past. Closure is only one of the reasons to want to know that information. And so I think, you know, it will be interesting to see how this play out. The diocese is taking a pretty radical legal stance. As I mentioned, 21 other states are going ahead with these investigations. But the Wisconsin courts have been sympathetic to these kind of very conservative, very pro-religious arguments in the past. And it will be obviously interesting to see how the arguments are worked out in this case.
Howard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
That's Howard Schwaber, Associate Professor of Political Science and Legal Studies at UW-Madison. We talked to him about the state's investigation of clergy abuse in Catholic institutions around the state and the response from the Milwaukee Archdiocese.